Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Good evening, Life Christian Center. My name is Jessica Martin, and I'm the worship pastor here at Life Christian Center. Now, I'm not usually the one up here talking, so this is very different for me. I don't usually preach very often. Matter of fact, it's probably been about 10 years, so I guess I'm due. But in the midst of all that's been going on while praying for our church and worship and everything that's been going on, I just began to ask God, what do you want us to know in this time? What do you want us to see? And what do you want us to do? Because like Pastor John and Pastor Stormy have been preaching, it's different. It looks different. It wasn't right away that I heard something, and it wasn't even in my prayer time that God spoke. It was Sunday evening a few weeks back. Stormy was already off to work, and the kids were playing, and I was cleaning up the kitchen from dinner, when God dropped a song on me. Not the whole song, but the bridge of a song I had heard a few times, but I really didn't know that well. I haven't really even been sold on the song. It's not one that particularly stuck with me. It wasn't one of those songs that I just wear out because I love it so much. It was just one that I had heard a few times and knew of it. Well, that evening, I felt like a burden had been placed on me, and the bridge of the song laid heavy on my heart. I knew it was the Lord, and I began to look up the words to see them in full. Right away, God just began to deposit within me His thoughts concerning us in this time, and I began to write them down. At first, I thought it was just for a Facebook post for myself, or maybe from the church account. And then I thought, well, maybe it's for a Facebook Live, and God wants me to just get on and pray this specifically over people. I started setting up my camera to film the live stream, and I got really excited when I felt God quiet me, as if to reel me back in and say, not yet. Hold on to this. It's not for right now. Sit on it and search me out a little more. So the next day while we were filming for Wednesday chapel service, I started telling Pastor John, Pastor Stormy, and Pastor Chase what was on my heart. And they said, well, maybe that's a sermon. And I laughed at them because I really don't consider myself a preacher. I'm much more comfortable singing, but I also don't want to tell God no. He laid something on my heart. I told them that I would pray about it more and see what God was speaking to me. So I went home that evening. God laid another thought on my heart that lined up with all this, and I felt that it was more than a Facebook post, that God wanted me to walk through this and talk about it. So here we go. It's been on my heart for the past several weeks that we would get what God wants to speak through us and to us while we are in this place of isolation. At first, it kind of feels like a holding pattern for us, especially since we felt like we were on an incline here at Life Christian Center. And I'm sure so many other church bodies were feeling the same way. It felt like an abrupt halt on a crescendo. But the more I dug into what God was saying, that thought seemed less true. A holding pattern is a flight path maintained by an aircraft waiting permission to land. While I get that that statement is true, the second definition proved to be less accurate, a state or period of no progress or change. While it does feel like we are waiting to land, the latter is certainly up to us. We can either have a period of no progress or change, or we can take this holding pattern and go higher and deeper than we could have ever imagined. This heavenly crescendo doesn't have to end abruptly. Just because our scheduled meetings ended that way, we don't have to end there. God is so good to us because while it seems like our lives have halted and our plans have changed, He still has a plan. And we can either choose to let this moment knock us off balance or we can build into the best symphonic crescendo that any orchestra has ever heard. There is no way that any of us could have planned for this moment in our life, but we don't have to let it keep us in a holding pattern. We can choose today to submit this moment to God in prayer and let it be the biggest awakening and revival of our hearts. Although we are physically shut in, our spirit man has such an opportunity to experience communion like never, ever before. God is so gracious to us in what feels like a delay to take time and let us really feel out what He's doing in the kingdom. I think sometimes we think that God is in a hurry to get to us and to get us to Him. And if we could see time in His eyes, He wants that no one should perish. So he is taking time to gather in everyone he can. His word says in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So we must be ready at all times, but we also must not be in a hurry. It doesn't mean don't take it seriously. It just means to be thought out and intentional. And while I'm at it, I'll mention the other words that we use with that one, relational and missional. So I feel like what seems like a big pause for the church on earth is a big strategic game plan for the heavenlies. God is preparing his saints, and he's gathering in the lost, and he's readying us for his next move. Let me take you back to the song I mentioned earlier. I'm sure some of you have heard it. I've seen it shared on Facebook a lot. It's a song by Corey Asbury, and it's called The Father's House. I've only heard the song maybe a handful of times, and that's being generous. It wasn't one that I just go back and listen to. Matter of fact, I was kind of still just trying to decide if I even liked it. But there I was in my kitchen, and the bridge dropped on my heart like a ton of bricks, and I thought, wow. At that moment, it didn't sound like a song. It sounded like God's mission. Let me read you those lyrics. It says, "Prodigals come home. The helpless find hope. Love is on the move when the father's in the room. Prison doors fling wide. The dead come to life. Love is on the move when the father's in the room. Miracles take place. The cynicals find faith. Love is breaking through when the father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking. Strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through when the father is in the room. Love is breaking through when the father's in the room." You see, that's what he's doing. In this moment of isolation, when we can't see it or feel it or understand it, he's working. We feel like we have to constantly be working and moving for anything to get done. But I believe in this moment, God is truly showing what he said or what he meant when he said that he gives the increase. Even in this moment of stillness and isolation, the kingdom is not asleep. You see, God is moving. He is working. He is fighting for us. He is busy. But he isn't busy like we are busy. He is not busy for the sake of being busy. He is busy and he is orchestrating redemption. In Luke chapter 15, we read three parables of lost things and the celebrations for them as they were found. Before these stories were told by Jesus, we find him among tax collectors and other notorious sinners. And the Jewish religious leaders of that time, the Pharisees, had a big problem with this. They couldn't believe that Jesus would associate himself with such people. And Jesus, being who he is, breaks it down for them a little bit and tells them the story of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. All the stories are very similar. Here we find a woman who had lost one of her 10 extremely valuable coins. She sweeps up her whole house, searches high and low until she finds it. And when she does, she has a huge celebration with her friends. Now, I don't know if you've ever lost something, but I have. I can remember one time when Ella was around 1 or 2. Stormy could not find his debit card to save his life. We tore the house apart, looked in every little space we could, retraced his steps, called up our families, and called up the last several places that he had been to see if anybody had found it. We looked high and low, and within a day or so, we found it. Ella had used a magnet and stuck it to the lowest part of the refrigerator, where pretty much only she would see it. But after that, we were so thankful to have found it and glad that it wasn't left somewhere and our account been compromised. We laughed and laughed, called up our families that had been looking for it, and we all had a good laugh about it. But it didn't stop us from celebrating something that carried value. I can imagine this is the way the lady in the story felt. Such relief probably swept over her as she celebrated with the ones close to her. I can imagine that in the days leading up to finding it, her going out to her neighbors and complaining how she lost something so valuable. She was probably so sick over losing it, and I imagine she was telling anyone who would listen about her woes. So when she found it, it made sense to go back to her neighbors and tell them that she found it. God tells them in the same way that God rejoices every time one sinner is lost and repents and turns to Him. He turns to His angels and says, "Let's celebrate. The one who was lost is now found." I can imagine all of heaven watching as one sinner finally makes the choice in asking Jesus to be Lord of their life. How heaven erupts in celebration. In the same way, He tells them about the one sheep out of 100 that is lost. You see, a shepherd knows his sheep, and when one, even out of 100, are lost, he goes on a search for it. That shows us the value of one sheep. He knows he has 99 others, but even one amiss from the fold makes him leave the others grazing in a field, and he sets out to find the one. God would go to drastic measures to find the one. And while I don't believe He sent this sickness to do it, I do believe that He is taking what the enemy meant for evil and using it for good. God showed me that while we cannot gather, it does not mean that He is not gathering. He is taking this opportunity to gather all those who may never step foot in a church, but would click a link on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter and get their attention. He is taking this time of us being isolated to really speak to the hearts of those who may be turned away from Him at this moment. Even those in foreign countries are getting access to the Word through social media. I've seen several people who normally wouldn't go to church sit and watch a whole service online. I have seen people say that because of things like praise on the porch, that they have decided to stop running from God. I talk to people on the phone who say their sons and daughters' hearts are so much more tender towards God during all this. You see, our gathering in a building has ended for the moment, but God does not for one second stop gathering. I feel like this should be a point of prayer for us, that God, gather all the ones that you can, help them be sensitive to your word and to your spirit. Imagine sharing a church service link or worship song or prayer that one of your friends who would never step foot in a church clicks on and they see Jesus in a whole new light. You see, God is out roaming while we cannot be, and He is gathering in all those who are lost. He is finding the one that trailed away from the 99. He is searching high and low for the lost, valuable coin, and He is out on every road looking for lost sons and daughters. See, I love the parable of the lost son. What a story of unconditional love and redemption. We see a story of two very different sons. One who took his inheritance and stayed close to the source, working for his father, being faithful with what he had, and never wandering. Then we have the second son who asks for his inheritance and squanders it all on women, parties, and a messy lifestyle. Some would look at this and say, he doesn't deserve redemption. It was his choice to lose what he had. But most parents would read this and know that if it were their child that was lost for so long, would do exactly what the father in this story does. They would run to him, scoop the child up, and tell everyone what just happened. You see, God is the father in this scenario, and we are all the children. And while we may be quick to identify with one or the other, we should also see that neither one was perfect, but the father loved them both so completely. The one child we can see the blatant sin, and the other seemed to have stayed close to his father and never left, was quick to point out the faults in the other son. I can imagine the relief that the younger son felt coming home, probably walking in feeling naked, ashamed, embarrassed, cold, tired, and hungry. He thought that he would have to work for his father to get fed. He thought his father would somehow turn him away or not be able to forgive his mess. But the father doesn't even allow him to finish his sentence. He throws the best robe around him, puts his ring on his finger, kills the fatted calf, and throws a party. Can you imagine the relief the son felt? His time of traveling was suddenly offloaded by one embrace. I too have felt that in my life. The love only a father can give. The moment I repented of my sins and ran back to the Father, He gave me everything that was His. And for anyone watching today, you too can experience the greatest relief of freedom from your sins and being accepted into the family of God. Believe me when I say, we are all the prodigal sons. Even if we stayed close, we all have had to make that journey to our Father and ask for forgiveness. And the beautiful thing is, God is the Father in all of our stories. He covers us, He feeds us, protects us, and throws an all-out celebration when even one of us comes home. And there's room for all of us to come home. I feel like we are living in the day of the prodigal returning. During this time of isolation and being shut in with our families, we think all that we are getting is more family time. But God showed me that He is being so gracious and giving our families time. Time to make a decision. Time to make it right. You see, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. God never intended to take what is happening to you or anything that has ever happened to you to lead you further into fear, anxiety, panic, paranoia, depression, or any other form of sadness. He wants you to take this time and let it lead you closer to Him, closer to trusting Him, closer in friendship, intimacy, peace, and wholeness. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 in the ESV says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I like how the Passion Translation ends that verse. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for His purposes. You see, God is redeeming the time. He has, for this moment, slowed down time for us, and it would be a shame to miss what He is doing. We need to be wise with our time and not miss it. We can either spend our time well, or we can be on the other side of this in a month or two and say, "Man, I wish I would have prayed more, read my Bible more, gotten into a devotional, walked more outside and talked with God, or made more time to just sit and listen to Him." There is not one person that has not been affected by this time of slowing down. We don't have to come out of this thing looking like what we went through. We can lean into God a little more and come out looking like we spent a month on an island. I'm not talking about physically, but I mean mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We don't have to be busy just to be busy. We don't have to add to our lives to fill these empty spots where work and activities used to go. Do your best to stay mentally healthy, but I believe more than half of that battle is fought in getting closer to the Father. I want to leave you with an excerpt from Scripture in Ephesians 2:18 through 22. "And now, because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ Himself. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under His supervision until it rises up completed as the holy temple of the Lord Himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, His dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you." You see, God wants to dwell united with you. He wants to make your heart His dwelling place. He wants to fill your heart with His love. We don't need to waste time filling it with other things that won't amount to anything but busyness. Fill it with the Lord, and everything else will matter less and less. And He will guide you to what is most important. Let us pray. God, we thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing in this moment. God, we thank You for being with us today in our homes. God, we thank You for helping us to see You and, Lord, that You are the most important thing right now. God, we just take our minds away from all the busyness and what tries to distract us. Lord, and help us to focus on You more. God, help us to take this time, Lord, to see what You are doing, Lord, that You are gathering in our families. Lord, that You are gathering in the lost, God, that these moments that seem like they're lost to us, God, that they're not lost to You. Lord, that You are doing everything that You have in mind, God, and You're working, God, while we cannot be busy, Lord, You are busy. God, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Now, if through this message today you felt God tugging at your heart and you would like to make Jesus Lord of your life, please follow after me with this simple prayer. Lord, I recognize my need for a Savior. I come to you admitting my sins and asking you to forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Thank you, God, for raising him from the dead. Thank you that that same resurrection power is now living inside me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, send us an email and let us know about your decision for Christ. We would love to hear from you and hear your story. Well, thank you all for being with us once again. We pray that you are blessed this week, and we can't wait to see you all real soon.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.